Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, greetings, brothers and sisters. On behalf of our founder and host, Sister Kimberly Skeen, we welcome you to Freedom Radio this evening. I'm Minister Dunlap, and we're just here and excited to have another great evening as far as dialogue is concerned and just resurrecting respectable dialogue. Do y'all hear a feedback on there?
No, you're clear on my end.
Okay. Sorry about that. Technical difficulty. So here on Freedom Radio, we're here to engage in responsible and respectable dialogue. And we want to just say that everybody's opinion actually matters. And we want to thank the listeners who come and share their time with us every evening on Tuesdays from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. And we want to also remind everybody that you have to just press 1 if you want to join into the dialogue, and we encourage everybody to do that. This evening we have with us three guests that graced us with their presence last week and are here again this week. We have Sister Christine Nipper and Sister Tawanya Thomas and also Sister Adia Sanders. So again, ladies, thank you all for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
All right, well, I think we're just going to hit right into the show, and I will say for those who were not here last weekend or last Tuesday evening, we had a very good time, and we talked about a lot of good information, and we was able to hear from the ladies' hearts, and I encourage all the listeners out there, if you were not able to catch the show last week, just go back and listen to the archives, because tonight's show is a continuation of the show from last week. So let's just dig right into the show that we have for this week. What I wanted to do was just recap a couple of the things that we talked about last week and remind everybody that this show title is called Living with Diversity in the Church, and in the church in parentheses, because we've been dealing with this every first Tuesday of the month, which is the time that Sister Skeen has allowed me to host the show. And God really put it on my heart that it was important for us, as we talk about diversity and the lack thereof sometimes, that we give everybody their individual space that may not have certain spaces to communicate, because a lot of times when diversity is lacking within the church or within the body, it's because we're not giving individuals enough space to be able to talk and communicate freely. But what I wanted to do to start off this evening was let me just go to Sister Tawanya. Really want to just see if there was any reflections that you had on last week, or did you see God move in a special way regarding this topic that we were talking about since last week?
Yes, I did. Since the show last week, multiple things just kind of presented to me that made me reflect back to my light bulb moments during the show, and one of them was the seeking that was provided by Sister Adia, and the context in which she was giving it in, you know, it was in reference to example with the male and the female within the church. But I had to just dig a little deeper and go back to it. So, you know, I went in the Bible and I went to Matthew 6:33. And, you know, that's where it states, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And, you know, as a human, I hit a challenging part of my week last week, and it required a little more strength than what Tawanya had. So that's when I knew, you know, and just meditated on that seek ye first the kingdom, and God just came right in, and he just, you know, gave me such a calm and peace about the situation that the level of stress just went down like a million octaves, and I was just like, All right, that's good, that's good. But I would have never probably reflected that to that had, you know, that came out last Tuesday night. And then another situation that presented was when Sister Christina called herself a daughter of faith. And I was like, you know what? We're only supposed to have faith the size of a mustard seed, and, it, you know, it can move mountains and stuff. And then it didn't say that our faith wouldn't be tested. Still in reference to that same situation, I was allowed to reflect twice on two encounters that may not have been there. So I, you know, had to dig a little deeper on that one, too. And it took me to Acts chapter 14 and 15. And just in those two chapters alone, it was like so much on faith. Faith of churches being established, hearts being purified, people being healed. And I just was like, wow. And those were positive things that came out of it. So all in all, last week was challenging at some point, but it was a wonderful week. And it allowed me to reflect back to, you know, what key words that were light bulb moments for me during the show last week. And I appreciate that. And I just thank you for allowing me to be here again this week.
All right. Well, it is definitely our pleasure. And a lot of people have been talking, not just about you, Sister Thomas, but all three of you, based upon the conversation and the wisdom and the insight that God has given you each individually. But again, this is about unity, and that's the theme that we really have been on. And all three of you ladies, what you each individually brought to the table, really headlining exactly what God had put on my heart as far as diversity is concerned and the inclusion of it. Sister Christine, was there any striking moments? I know this was a first for Sister Christine, for those who are listening, but a lot of individuals really, really enjoyed your conversation and dialogue as well. So anything that you have from last week regarding women in ministry, you being a female, quote unquote, in ministry, anything of that nature?
I just really enjoyed being a part of this discussion and hearing the different viewpoints of the two other ladies that are with me. It was really, really awesome to hear that and to hear people that have been doing this and have more experience than I do in the church and in ministry. It was really, really awesome to hear that and really encouraging to just be a part of this and to hear other points of view. And it was awesome to let the Holy Spirit just speak through me. And what he had to say was much better than what I had to say. And it was just really awesome to be a vessel for him.
Thank you so much for that. Sister Adia.
Yes, sir.
I know God did a lot with you, and I'm not going to put you out there. I'm going to let you go ahead and speak whatever God wants you to speak. But I'm going to just tell everybody, God spoke to Sister Adia. We talked after the show last week, and I'm not in no way, shape, or form trying to get her to disclose anything we talked about. But I can tell you that God did a work in her last week. And if there's anything that you want to share, anything that you reflected on, Sister Adia, then we're all open, with open ears.
With the topic on last week, you know, we were talking about the women's voice, and after, as May said, the show was over, I began to share with him back in January of 2000. I attended a service when I was in college, and it was on that night that the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord was in that chapel. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that before. And I heard the Lord as clear as day say, "Will you preach my word?" And hearing those words, I was just like, I don't want to preach nothing. I never thought about preaching. I just want to sing for Jesus, and I just want to teach people. But I never wanted to do anything that remotely sounded like standing behind a pulpit. And I remember just being on that floor. I was standing up at one point, and next thing you know, I was on the floor. And he continued to ask me, will you preach my word? And in my head, I began to say, yes, you know, Lord, I'll preach your word. And I can only, the only thing that I can compare to was when Jacob was wrestling all night with the angel. And my experience was not that I was trying to get a blessing, but I just wanted to get up off the floor.
But I found myself, until I confessed with my mouth that I would preach the word of the Lord, that I was able to get up off that floor. And in what we were talking about on last week about the women's voice and different things like that, I, for going on 12 years now, I have probably shared that experience with two pastors that I have been up under. And the thing for me that was just really life-changing was that I realized that sometimes we're, as women, we think that we got to wait for the right time when God is saying, I've already called you. You just have to go. So I found myself battling for all these years. I kept saying, well, I got to be at the right church, and I got to have a pastor who's going to receive this and who's going to give me the opportunity to minister. But it wasn't until Tuesday after the show, and I think it was Sister Twine, she even asked if I was a minister, that I realized that the only person who was keeping the ministry of the Lord from prevailing was me. And so that night, you know, just with my, you know, just with the help of my cousin, I realized that when God is the one that calls you, it doesn't matter about if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you think you're ready. But when God calls you, he's always going to equip and prepare you. And even after, you know, I know Sister Twaya said that last week was trying. Last week was very hard for me. We just moved back into our old house. But I tell you, one of the things I had been contemplating as I move on to the next one was, if we moved back to Fayetteville, North Carolina, I know that God had begun to work in me prior to when I was here before. And it was to go out into the community and to be a light and to minister, not just in word and quoting scriptures, but to actually work in the community. And so what I have just found was that in saying, yes, Lord, I will preach your word, and in coming back to Fayetteville, North Carolina, I have just realized that God has just really released me. And one of the things that I have already started praying about and just am believing God is just where he's going to lead my family and I as far as our covering, because that's one of the things that Nate said that is very important, is to have a covering. And even if I never preach across the pulpit, I still know in my heart that God has called me to preach his word, and that regardless of what my gender is that God's word is going to come forth, because he said in Isaiah that it will not return unto him void. So that's just my reflection from last week. And I really want to thank Sister Thomas just for even asking that question, because it prompted me to have to go back 12 years ago to get me to where I'm at right now. And I'm very excited about what God is getting ready to do in my life and in the people's lives that I touch here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Cumberland County, and so many other people across the world. Thank you.
Right now, all I can say is I know that God is truly pleased with your obedience, all three of you, for agreeing to participate on this show, and also just recognizing the Holy Spirit, recognizing God's presence. And I know for a fact that there's going to be, if not already, a lot of people that are going to be blessed by all three of your ministries. So I thank you for all that God is doing as well. And so let's get in the show. You know, I really feel, ladies, that I need to keep lifting up this theme of living with diversity so that everybody understands that what we're talking about on this show, what we've experienced on the other shows around this topic of diversity is all within the Word of God, and is what the Holy Spirit is saying for us to do today. It's what the Holy Spirit has said long ago of what we should be doing. And I'm glad that last week's show, we was able to stay centered around the larger theme of unity in the body. And we were grounded in Scripture, which was out of 1 Corinthians 12. So what I wanted to do was just let us to go back to Scripture, because when we start having these conversations, talking about diversity is not an easy thing for some individuals, because some individuals don't recognize what diversity is. But from the Scriptures that we were dealing with last week in 1 Corinthians 12, the thing that really struck me the most was when it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I think if we start there, then we really don't have too much leeway for I'm a female or she's a female or I'm too young or I'm not old enough or I'm too old, all these different things that keep us separated. I think we focus on all of you together across Christ's body and each of you is a part of it. What are your thoughts on those, ladies?
Collectively, as being, as it was, you know, it was addressed last week, of all the parts working together and how everything functions, when you look at how we were created and we're utilized to seek God and coming together, working together, for the uplifting of the kingdom, to do God's will in our life. And if we do his will in our life, it's going to benefit others. And, you know, they talk about apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healers, all leadership, all of those different areas are areas in which no gender can be discriminated against. So I definitely agree with you in that area, JR. It is necessary to work together because we are part of the body as Christians. And when that presents more within the church, within the community, it is going to flourish. And people are going to be saved. They're going to come in. They're going to embrace it, maybe with some tug of war. But that's when we have to go into the Proverbs 3:5-6, lean not into your own understanding and all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your path. Because when we try to understand what it is that we're supposed to do within the body, that's us as humans trying to analyze and come up with what it's supposed to be. Whereas God already knows, and he already knows what he wants us to do. It's just a matter of us falling in line and going in that direction. So that's my take in reference to that.
I got you. Thank you for that. There was one scripture that I looked at in preparation for today's show, and that was out of Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And it said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even upon my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Christine or Adia, does that add more to what we've been talking about in respect to God is not a respecter of persons, and there's something that God wants to do? He's going to pour his spirit upon everybody, and when he does so, he's not looking for a male to do X or a Y to do X. He's just looking for a willing vessel to be able to do whatever he's called them to do.
Yeah, this is Christine. It's really exciting for me to read that. And to know that God is going to use whoever is willing to do his work, he's going to use them. Whoever is willing to go after him and to obey him, he's totally willing to pour out his spirit on that person and let them do his work. It's exciting for me. It's like there's no limitations. It doesn't matter if you're a male or a female. It doesn't matter anything, you know, your age, your or whatever the divisions are, you know, it doesn't matter. God will use anyone that's willing. So it's really exciting for me to read that, that even on his sons and daughters and his men and women, he's going to pour out his spirit and all people will prophesy. That's exciting to me.
It's exciting to me, Adia.
I really think that when you are just walking in the will of God, that there is nothing that is too hard for us to do. I always tell my children, you know, the Bible verse, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so when we look at this verse that says he's going to pour out his spirit on all men and women, I just feel like that's him saying that there's nothing that's too hard that you're not going to be able to do. And like you were saying, Nate, that God is not a respecter of person. I just think that it's so important that we continue to keep that, you know, as in part of our ministry when we're talking to different people, that the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God who sent his only son, he loved us so much that he didn't just die for a man, but he died for all of mankind, his creation. And so when he says that he's going to pour out his spirit on us, I just feel like that is just the motivation to say that no matter what I may come up against, that I'm going to keep going on and that I'm going to keep serving God because his spirit has been poured out for me. He died for me, and he's left these words behind to encourage me, to let me know that he is right there by my side. That's all I have.
I think that in reference to this right here, sorry about that, any person that is open to allow his spirit to come on them and to be used is going to have benefit in that too. And the mindset of the person and knowing the element of protection, and when I say that, I'm kind of thinking about the armor that we put on. And how when we're in God's will, we are protected under that element, and then it brings more people in so that work can get done in whatever area that is in. And so that is definitely a blessing to know that his spirit is available upon us in the last days.
Amen, amen. I just wanted to remind the listeners that are out there with us that if you just press 1 on your dial pad, and if you have a comment or a question, we'll be more than happy to talk with you. We have some outstanding guests with us this evening, but your opinion is important. So, again, if you would like to join or add to the conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad, and as soon as we see you light up at the next opportunity, we will go ahead and make sure that we get to your call or your comment. Ladies, one of the things that you said, I believe it was Adia, was about walking in the will of God. And that reminded me about last week when a brother came on the line. I'm sure that each one of you remember who that brother was. And he said something to the effect about the lack of a male presence.
Mm.
So if there's a lack of a male presence, and you, all of you did a great job of uplifting this last week, are you as females, or are you as women supposed to sit back and do nothing if somebody else, meaning us as that male factor, that head of the household, all of those different attributes, are not doing what we're supposed to do? Are you not supposed to be in the will of God, which means you will be outside of the will of God, which means you're being disobedient? And I think we really summed that up yesterday by saying, no, definitely not. You are to make sure that you're in the will of God and doing what God has actually called you to do, because you're the one who will have to deal with God if you're disobedient to what he's called you to do. You know, there was another piece in 1 Corinthians 12, and I wanted to read this because, Flanya, you brought it up as well. When Paul was speaking, he talked about there's different parts of the body that are or have been appointed for the church. And what he mentioned was, he said, first there's apostles, and the second there were prophets, and third there was teachers. Mm-hmm. And then he wanted to talk about what those individuals would do, and then afterwards he said they would have individuals doing miracles, and some would have the gift of healing, and some would have the gift of helping others, and some would have the gift of leadership. I think, isn't it amazing, and when I listen to the conversation sometimes that we as men have about women in ministry or women ministers or pastors or women in the kingdom, when Paul spoke about this regarding the church, he just mentioned apostles and prophets and teachers. So, as one of you mentioned, he didn't mention only a male or a female, not in this verse. He just said this is what it is. So does that give more credence to the fact that, yes, if I'm lining up with the will of God, I'm okay? It's not about what somebody else puts on top of you as a precursor to what you can do and when you can do it.
Nate,
I feel that As a child of God, we have a duty to be active. And the no gender that is presented in this particular scripture is not designated to be active or inactive. The limitations that are set on that are defined for those people based on their mindset that's out there, whether it's the denomination playing a factor, whether it's the tradition playing a factor, and everyone can be utilized. Yes, there is word that says that the woman should not teach, you know, and you go into that element. But if we, and I don't want to go anyway against what the word says. I'm just saying that we have a duty to be active, and the limitations that other people put on people, whether that's how they were raised, whether that's what they are defined as in the church, that should not be a factor, because everyone can be utilized in some area, no matter how big or how small. And that once that is put out to the masses through them reading the word or either presented by their pastor or someone that has developed that within their church, then it's going to manifest. Because all it takes is for it to be planted, for it to grow and nourish, and a person to be open to receive that and be active and do the will of God. Because it's not just specific to presenting the word. It's in whatever area that is designated. But you got to have that relationship, to have that connection, to know what it is that God wants you to do in that area. So I just feel that we have a duty to be active. Mm-hmm.
Nate, I want to chime in, and this is still just coming from 1 Corinthians 12. But when you look at verse 25, even starting a little bit before that, but verse 25 says that there should be, I'm going to go to verse 24, but it says, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And I think that this is really, that it ties into everything that we've been talking about with the diversity in the church and women and men and different things like that, and some of the traditional things that that we have, like you said, have grown up hearing, that there should be no schism, there should be no division, there should be nothing that would cause the body to break apart. And when you look at, like I said on last Tuesday, when you look at the body, you think about somebody who is in a cast or who has to use a cane. They begin to put more weight on that hurt part, on the part that is the body part that is not in pain. And what that does is that when that weight or that other part, limb that wasn't being utilized as much as it was before, is now being fully dependent upon, sometimes it could cause more pain. It can take your body out of balance. And so when I look at that in the spiritual sense, is that when we have these schisms, when we have all of these rules and these traditional mindsets, that what it does to the body is that it puts it out of balance. And so in verse 27, Paul addresses that. He says, now you are the body of Christ. But then it has a comment, says, and members individually. So it's saying as a body collectively, we do have an obligation, as Sister Tanya was saying, we have to be active members, because if we are not active in doing what God has called us to do, if we are not in the will of God, then the body of Christ as a whole is out of balance. But then as members, it says that we have individual roles that we are supposed to play. That is going to be outside of our church. Our churches, we are the church, but the building itself, where we all come to fellowship on Sundays, whether it be on Mondays, Wednesdays, or for Friday night service or for Saturday morning breakfast, that's when we come together to encourage and to uplift and to get that word. But then we are to go out. So as a collective, as the body, we all have a role to play. But then as members individually, like my church, we used to say that everybody is a minister.
It doesn't mean that you're necessarily behind a pulpit, but we are all ministers to proclaim and spread the good news about Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells us that until it is preached in the four corners of the world, he's not going to come back. And so as the body, we got to be together. We have to be on one accord. We can't have schisms. We can't have division. We can't have see the discord being sown together, because when we do that, then individually we are going to be ineffective in our ministering in our communities, our next-door neighbors, on our jobs, whether it's in the, at the dry cleaners, the laundromat, or at the drive-thru window at Wendy's, because he talks about the body, but then he adds a comma that we also have more of an obligation when we're not with the rest of the saints of God together fellowshipping and worshiping corporately.
Ladies, y'all are on fire tonight. Christine, you're in the background. Do you have anything on the subject?
Yeah. I just want to thank you so much for saying that, Adia. That was really, really, really good. And I completely agree with what you're saying. Our job as Christians is to lift each other up. And if we're not active in the church, if we're not active in our callings as Christians, it's letting the rest of the body suffer. And it doesn't matter who you are in the church. It doesn't matter if you're old or young or a man or a woman or whatever it is, whatever the divisions are. If we're not doing our job lifting each other up, then the part is weakened in our body as Christians. And I feel like that's our main job, is just to encourage each other, to lift each other up. And anyone can do that. You don't have to have fancy words or be behind a pulpit or have a specific job. Your job is to encourage, and it doesn't matter who you are. And I just thought it was really, really good that she said that. I really love that she brought that out.
Thank you for that, Christine. Let me just take a minute just to let those know who are listening that technology is a great thing, because you can follow us on Twitter. We're at We Speak Radio, or you can actually follow us on Facebook at the We Speak Radio page, and we encourage you to go out there and to look at the comments that individuals are making, or you yourself can make comments before and even after the show, as well as if you don't want to actually get onto the telephone lines, you can chat with us, and we have the chat rooms being monitored right now. So, again, listeners out there, if you have any comments or questions, please feel free just to press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Let me respond to what Christine said. The scripture that I thought about as you were talking about, as far as what we're supposed to be doing, it took me to Ephesians, and that's another scripture that talked about the spiritual gifts and also the gifts of the church. And in this one, we have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So in this particular scripture, in Ephesians 4, we have all five, which we call the fivefold ministry. But again, it's amazing to me that pastors are not the number one. Not saying that any one of them are more important, but at first there was apostles, and then prophets, then evangelists, and then pastors and teachers. And so often, dealing with this theme of diversity, especially women in the church, we always seem to always have this conversation about who should be a pastor and who should not be a pastor. And I can tell you, regardless of what anybody says, the bottom line is we really have to follow what the Holy Spirit is saying and allow God to be the one to direct. Because Paul did not walk with Jesus. And what Paul said is, I got my authority from Jesus Christ. So here's what I would say. If that was good enough for Paul, who never walked with Jesus, why is that not good enough for the women out here that are stepping up in the place of a lot of us men that are not standing in our rightful place, that are not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing as, quote-unquote, the head or as the leaders of our home, whether it's in the ministry or not? But why should that even matter? Do y'all have any thoughts on that? And the reason I ask that is because those are the things that we constantly hear. So I'm glad we have this space right now so we can just flush it out, get it out in the open, and let some other men speak on this while we have three ladies who are anointed by God that can actually respond.
Nate, if I can just chime in right quick, and if we do have somebody that's going to, a caller that's going to speak, I'll just cut it short. But what I, when Christine was talking, you know, I know we don't like to blame everything on the devil, but we certainly have to also be wise to know that he will do whatever he can to cause division. So if it means that he has to cause division by using gender, then he will do that. But we have to also remember that God said that everything that he made was good. When he made Adam, he said it was good. And he didn't just leave Adam alone, but he gave him a helpmeet. And so I think that it is just so important that we understand the devices of the enemy and that he will do and use whatever topic, whatever he can. He will even use gender to bring seeds of discord within the body of Christ so that we're so focused on if a woman should preach God's word or if a man should be an apostle, and if his home is not right, then he shouldn't call himself an apostle or a bishop, not understanding that we still have to understand and walk in the walk in obedience to God and the authority and the calling that he's given us. But I just wanted to bring that up as she was talking. I know the Holy Spirit was saying that we got to be very careful and to be very wise to and discerning that we can see in the spirit when the enemy will try to do things to throw us off track about what the real purpose is. The purpose is not whether it's a man or a woman, but it's about if that man or woman will say, yes, Lord, I'll preach your word. I'll do it in season and out of season. I'll do it when they don't want to hear it, when they want to hear it, whether it's one person or 500 people. But God, I will preach your word. And I think that we as men and women, we've gotten so caught up in the gender, or we've gotten so used to seeing a man preach, that as women we sometimes sit back on the sideline and say, well, I know that God has placed a calling on my life, but because I'm so used to seeing a man, I won't say anything. And I just want to leave that right there. And maybe somebody out there that's listening will be able to speak, because I believe that somebody has experienced the same thing that I did. Maybe not in the area of saying, God, I'll preach your word, but maybe God has called you to do something in your church or to do something in your community. And as a woman, you feel as if you can't do it because you think that a man will tell you that maybe God didn't call you to do that. Maybe he called you to work in the kitchen or in the nursery.
All right.
Senator, I would like to just chime
come
in.
On. Come
thanks
on,
for giving me that
come
word
on.
To you. I feel that the maturity of the Christian also plays a factor in the ability to accept new ways of the word being presented and ministry going forth. Because, you know, when you are new in the word and you're not necessarily at the level of the most mature person that has been in the word for, you know, ever, then you're holding on to what may be coming in to you from the outside instead of opening the word up and reading it for yourself. Or when you read the word, you don't have a clear understanding of what to take and how to put what you take into a perspective that you can use on an everyday basis. But that's where, you know, a male can present it, a female can present it, and guidance can be given, people can be led, and work can go forth. That also leans towards the unity in coming together in the body and uplifting, encouraging, and moving forth for God's work to go forth. But that maturity is also a factor, too. Along with going back what we said, the denomination, the traditionalness of that. So I just don't feel like we should put limits on what God can do with a woman or a man. but because we're so used to seeing a man, active deacons, whatever, pastors in front of the church, the other areas that they present in, meaning we have at my church, we actually have, and it's not all females, but we have something called the unseen hands. Sometimes the women get put in unseen category because that's a comfortable place for whoever decides to put them in that area. But when they come out to the forefront and they're embraced and word goes forth and there's growth, that is just another way of giving God glory in what he's able to accomplish in whatever church it is that it's being done in. So, it's our duty to, you know, help people be active and develop that maturity level. And you have a personal duty, too, because everybody can't bring you into the state that they're in, you know. But you can, you know, seek guidance within the church. Okay.
Thank you all, ladies. Thank you very much. Let me shift gears, and I'm not going to shift too far because I know we can't get away from it, but a male friend of mine, we were having a conversation a couple of months ago, and we were talking about this thing of, and I never heard the word used, of affinity groups. And those are groups that have groups of people who have common interests or goals by getting together for a specific purpose. So you may not have heard the word affinity groups, but we operate in them all the time, whether at work, whether at church. And he brought up a very good point. He talked about how in the church we break out into different ministries. For example, the women's ministry, the children's ministry, the men's ministry, the older women's ministry, the singles groups, the young married couples groups, the divorce small groups, Bible study class. We break things out into these individual areas. And he made a good point. He said these are just ways that we minister to different populations, and there's value in having that space such as what we have right now. But in some churches, there's already enough division between male and female. And he was particularly talking about the black church, quote-unquote. And he said that because there's already division between the black male and the black female in a lot of different areas already, that we don't need to be part of that as the church. The church doesn't need to be a part of that type of division. And so he also went on to say that, you know, all of these different groups have different needs. Women, y'all have different needs than us. Sometimes it's good for women to come together to talk about women's needs and vice versa. But the other side needs to know, and this is what I wanted to get y'all to chime in on, the other side, quote unquote, needs to know what the other side is talking about. So if I'm talking about what's going on in my life and difficulties that I'm having as a man, if I'm only talking about them with men, how will you as my female partner, my wife, my girlfriend, how will you know what's going on with me if I'm never communicating it to you? So he said, hey, we shouldn't have to get it from a book, you know, all these self-help books and things of that nature. If we just talk about it internally, then we get nothing solved about all these different problems that we're coming together to talk about. So do either of you ladies have any thoughts on, is it a good thing to have the women's ministry from what you've seen in your experiences in ministry, or do we need to have more, less affinity groups and us having groups where we're together with one another talking about the issues out in the open?
This is Christine. In my experience at the House of Prayer, We've built a community that we are small still. We have 5 staff members, and I have another girl that's a teenager, and then 2 other guys that are young, and our director, who's a woman. And we've been able to open up and talk about things as a community and talk about both sides of the coin in different areas of ministry and just the way that we see things. And it has been so powerful. So just as a testimony of what you're talking about, of being able to be open and talk about issues on both sides, it's been really powerful in my life to see that, to see a guy's perspective on a certain issue, or just hearing from other people my age, it's really, really important. And I feel like that could be so useful in a larger setting like a church, because it's just five of us and we're small, but it has been powerful to help bond us to each other and to help us understand each other better. So I just wanted to say that as just a testimony to what you're talking about. It's really powerful, and I feel like it's really, really important as a community of people.
And on the other side of that, is it Tawanya? At my church, we have many different ministries broken down, just like the way that you described. I feel one thing that is important is effective communication. And a lot of people forget that with communication, there's someone probably talking, but there has to be active listening. Otherwise, the message may not go through. With the modified group ministries that we have, some of them are broken down to same genders, opposite genders, single, married couple. And when they're in that group, they're more likely to be open because they have issues they can relate. And then it's not going to be held against them if that possibly presents, if it's, you know, related back to the person directly. But then I feel like there's also a time and a place to present that to your significant other, your spouse, your husband, and your wife. Because if you could talk to someone openly, your pastor, your group leader, whoever, in reference to an issue for guidance, then you should also bring it to that person so that the thing can, whatever it may be addressed directly so that it's not something being held against each other and you can work through it and move forward. So I've seen the benefit of it being an all-women's group, an all-males group, or all-singles group. And at my church with the singles, the males and females are in there at the same time. And then the word is, you know, presented by our pastor, but then we intermingle and come up with things that associate with that. But for the married couple, which I've never been to that one because I'm not there, but God will allow that to manifest when it's necessary. I'm sure that they do those things too because I have friends that have participated in those groups and they got benefits from that particular area also. So on the flip side of our congregation is a nice size and you could disconnect. It was so that people would have encouraging words, fellowship, and uplifting within that, and you get to know that person. And they bring different people in, but it's probably of the same gender unless you're going to a completely different setup. So I've seen the benefit of that.
This is Adia. I guess my mind is kind of sometimes simplistic because what I thought about when you was talking, Nate, was when we go to our jobs, when we go to restaurants, there's no division. You know, I mean, we go to work and we work with man or woman, different ethnic background, ages that come from all walks of life. But just like the old saying goes, is that the most segregated time is on Sunday mornings in our churches. And so then when and don't get me wrong, I love the women's groups because I get to let my hair down and just relax, and I'm amongst other women that, you know, we can just talk and really be free. But I still think that I have learned that it's important that we also, that I know with men, some of the things that men are going through and some of the things that that are on their mind, and that they know some of the things that we go through as women, some of the things that are on our minds as well, not just in a married couples group, which I have been a part of those, and they've just been such a tremendous blessing to me and my husband. But I will tell you that there are some things that I just don't know all the time about men. There's just some things I'm just like, you know, is this something that just men go through? Because I have no idea. So I think that if we could have those times to where we can come together, Hebrews 10:25 says, you know, about us assembling together.
And sometimes we get away from that because we want to be able to have that those moments of truth and, with people that are like us, you know, meaning women or men, or they're single or they're married or they're going to be engaged, or, you know, the new parent-to-be clash, you know. It's always good to have those so that people have options and they can grow in those areas that they so desire to grow in. But I think it's so important when we can learn about the opposite sex, because I didn't grow up with my biological father, and my father that raised me passed away when I was 15. So for a long time, I mean, there was an emptiness there about how to relate to the opposite sex. And so that's something that I struggled with as a woman. And I will tell you that if it hadn't been for my husband and other men that have just that sat down and just said, hey, look, Adia, you know, these are just some things that me as a man, and I'm talking about my husband, that he deals with, things that I was just like, well, I'm glad I'm not a man because I don't want to deal with those stresses. I think at some point that we should be able to come back, because I know if I was single, I would want to know what some things that men think about that I may not ever know or think about, so that when I do get married, I'm tracking. And it might not be 100%, but I'm like maybe 70, 75 with room to grow, you know, with my mate. I just think that some of those things are very important. And I just also kind of look at it, too, as and another old thing to where we say, you know, what goes on in our family stays in our family. Sometimes those traditions carry over into the church to where we're not as open with people. But when you get married, you know, you got to be open. You got to be able to be open with your spouse, because that communication that you were talking about, Tawanya, that is going to be very important. And if I can only communicate and let my hair down with women, but I can't do it with my spouse, then there's going to be a gap, and there's going to be some lacking, and there's going to be some trouble in the water, because that aspect of it is missing, because we as women have not learned how to communicate with men, because we really don't know some of the things and the pressures and just how their brain thinks sometimes, and the vice versa for men, that they don't get to know some of the things that are on our minds as women, things that we think about. And, you know, when we get married or when we're married, you know, we still want to, we have these goals and ambitions, and we just want them to support us, and
right.
We don't have to put it on the back burner. So I'm going to stop right there.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a caller on the line calling with the last four of 6812. Caller last four, 6812. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hi, JR. This is Shelly Caldwell. How are you?
Hello, Shelly. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. To all of our listeners that are out there, and you ladies are having a wonderful dialogue, I am Shelly Caldwell, founder of the We Speak Association, and, of course, the proud, proud mama of JR and Kim, who's my sister, as they have started this show. I'm so proud, and very rarely am I talking because I'm normally on the back side of things, and, of course, we're excited about our intern being in the chat room tonight and taking care of some things on the back end and lifting some weight off my shoulders. But as I'm driving, I'm usually chimed into the show. I had to pull over because I had to say something to this dialogue tonight. And so I'm going to try to drop the mic at best, you know, in very short terms. But you ladies have opened up some doors that have become my life's platform and advocacy as I teach communication and speech development to people in general, just no matter what gender they are. I'm finding that the request is coming more from the church, whereas I didn't really want to deal with the church. I wanted to just deal with communication as speakers and public speakers, but I'm finding that it's not about being a public speaker on a platform or in a pulpit. It is just about clear communication. One thing I found out is that communication in and of itself must be safe. It must be confidential.
Right.
If I don't trust you, then some things I'm just not going to share with you. And the sad part about it is we have to think we have to let our hair down only when we're with our respective groups, when in the end, shouldn't we just live a life of our hair being down at all times? it presupposes that you are in turn being pretentious or presumptuous or just really not free with your spouse. What sense does that make? If I married you, my goodness, but I don't let my hair down with you. I only let it down around my girlfriends. I know we have that in a certain saying. I understand that, but let's get real. Let's deal in the spirit here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I come through now finding that more men cling to men's groups because we as women castrate our men with our mouths so much so.
Mm-hmm.
That if they had the opportunity to speak, they would not know how because they're afraid and they're fearful. I want to leave with you all as you're listening. Proverbs 16 and 24, it says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb and sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I'm just trying to figure out if we as women could ever grab a hold of that and bind that around our neck and tape it across our mouth before we speak. Our marriages would be better. We wouldn't even be talking about why women don't have a pulpit in the church. It's because they're not really sure how spastic we may or may not become when our emotions get high. Whew. I'm just telling you what I know and what I've heard is I've dealt with this whole 2012 year, and I've been on a 2012 challenge through the We Speak Association in rescuing, restoring, and repositioning our black men. And I've heard this hands up, hands down, across the board from state to state with men who have their PhDs and also to men who are 20 years out of prison, 8 years. Recovered addicts who are now healthy, successful men. JR, you've met Kimbo, and you've
That's
also
right.
probably heard and seen me advertise this campaign this year. And they have all intended to give or tell their success stories, but a few of 5 or 10 makes no drop in the water for what we as women have done when in turn we look back and want to point the finger. But we as God's daughters, he's calling us back to a nurturing position. Because we vacated that place. And so now we develop the women's groups because we want to, quote, unquote, let our hair down. But you've married that man. Anything outside of that, we want to now forget. We forget, we totally forget that our pulpit is wherever we are. You're in a pulpit. If you have ever been raped, victimized, or trespassed, you have a pulpit. Why are we so hung up? And we talked about it last week. Y'all guys talked about it last week. Why are we so hung up on our titles and having to preach in a pulpit? Are you serious?
That's right.
The people in the church are the ones that really at that point, it's the pastor's responsibility to take care of them. Go outside of the church now and do what God has called you to do in order to draw more that have not heard the word. And so your pulpit is yet out there in the highways and the byways to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so now women are seeking and wondering and battling and, oh, they won't recognize me and, oh, I'm not sure why my pastor is. But why are you still there? Go find your place. You have a prayer life, find your place. Seek God for strategy and direction. Because if there's anything that's going on with you, and again, as I started to say, if you've been victimized or trespassed, that's your pulpit. Go start the women's group that in turn may actually end up not just being women, men as well. And minister to those in that place that have that need, which may not necessarily be termed and deemed as an affinity group in the church, but in turn it gives you your ministry place and platform in the earth. Doing God's bidding, because men and women, as we see all across the whole Sandusky trial, do we have to talk about molestation and rape happening to men? But we make it a women's thing and a women's advocacy, and, boy, we holler and hoot, and we've got all kind of shelters for women who are abused. What about abused men? We've got all kind of programs and funding for single mothers. What about single fathers where their wives have died and they're raising their sons and daughters? We walk for cancer, but are we walking for prostate cancer? But we'll walk tens and thousands for breast cancer, and we can't get our men to the doctor. You know, and so we as women are really, really, really coming into a place I feel like that is over and above what God has intended, that we're leaving our men behind. And I'm sorry, I sound like I'm pro for me, and I am.
Thank you.
Because where are we and where will we be if we do not take up God's original order and find ourselves in the right place? JR, I'm done. I could go on. I'm not going to go on. It's not my preaching platform, but I appreciate your support. Thank you all for listening. Continue to join us every Tuesday night for this show. It's been an awesome dialogue, and I'm going to continue to listen and let you roll on, JR. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We will see you on next Tuesday, 8:30, 9:30 p.m. Sister Scheme will be back with a hot topic. So to all of our guests, we thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you in your ministries, and have a good night.